Hey, good morning. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 9. You guys ready? Revelation chapter 9. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from the heaven which had fallen to the earth, and the key of the bottomless pit was given to him. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke went up out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the pit. And out of the smoke came forth locusts upon the earth, and power was given them, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And they were told that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only the men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not permitted to kill anyone but to torment for 5 months, and their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings a man. And in those days men will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, and death flees from them. And the appearance of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle, and on their heads as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. And they had hair like the hair of women, and their teeth were like the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots of many horses rushing to battle. And they have tails like scorpions and stings, and in their tails is the power to hurt man for 5 months. They have as king over them the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in the Greek he has his name Apollyon. And first woe is past. Behold, two woes are still coming after these things. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, one saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." And the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released so they might kill a third of mankind. And the number of the armies of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. And this is how I saw in the vision the horses and those who sat on them. The riders had breastplates the color of fire and of hyacinth and of brimstone, and the heads of the horses are like the heads of lions, and out of their mouths proceed fire and smoke and brimstone. A third of mankind was killed by these three plagues, by the fire, the smoke, and the brimstone which proceeded out of their mouths. For the power of the horses is in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails are like serpents and have heads, and with them they do harm. And the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, so as not to worship demons and idols of gold and of silver and of brass and of stone and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their immorality, nor of their thefts. Amen. Well, it's been a long time, so it's going to take a little time for me to catch up real quick. But we get to the fifth trumpet, and it differs from the other four trumpets. If you remember, the other four trumpets wreaked havoc on the earth. And so, remember, a third of the seas, third of the earth, a third of the trees, all kinds of stuff happened. And now, when we get to the fifth and sixth trumpet, this is now where mankind is affected. And unlike the other trumpets, and actually unlike most of the beginning of Revelation that we read so far, we come to the human response of these things that happen. So the first trumpet is blown, and an angel sounds, and a star falls from heaven, and it falls into the earth, and this star, most likely this angel, is given the keys to hell, or they say the shaft of the abyss. Now, in the scriptures, there's a lot of different words that are used for hell. And most likely because hell is not just a figurative thing, I mean, it's a real thing, but it's also quite mysterious. Is there going to be fire in hell? I don't know. It's going to be hot. I mean, that's the simple, and the way that you can understand, and actually a better way is I don't want you to look into like the cultural characteristics or things that they show about hell. If you remember in Luke, it says that a demon, remember the demon, once you enters in, you kick the demon out, and it says, and it goes through waterless realms seeking some kind of rest and doesn't find any, and so it goes back to the host. Actually, I think it's Matthew, goes back to the host, and then it becomes seven times, you know, brings seven times more wicked than itself. And so, but I think that's a great picture of this idea of this waterless realm. Doesn't mean it's hot, Probably, but it's the waterless realm. In other words, it's the realm where there's no refreshing. If you've ever read Dante, and he talks about, in the Inferno, he talks about these different places of hell. And even in Buddhist paintings, you can see that there's these depictions of hell. And so I remember I was in a Korea sightseeing many, many years ago. And I went to this temple. You know, I didn't know that I was not supposed to go back in those days. So I went in and I saw all this artwork. And one of the things was hell was like, if you were a liar, this one depiction that was your tongue, and it was this super long tongue, and that was staked to the ground, which represent your lying. And this is kind of the consequences of your lying. If you know, all different kinds of stuff. And so we see these different depictions. Is that what it's going to look like? I don't know. We have the word abyss. We have the word Gehenna. There's so many other words throughout the Bible that depict this. But one thing that we do know is hell is a place where God is not. Hell is this darkness, and it's the absence of God. And, I mean, I don't know what your life was like before you met Christ, but it would be very apropos to say your life was like hell before Jesus, before purpose, and before agape, and all these things that happen. So this is the picture. So the angel sounds, and this angel is given this key, and he holds the key to hell. The word that he'll use here is the abyss. And so it's this bottomless pit, and out of it, smoke comes up. If you remember, the first four, and this is where the depictions of hell come from, the first four trumpets, woes, dealt with fire basically coming on the earth. Now, in the fifth trumpet, is the idea of smoke. And so smoke is everywhere. And in the sixth trumpet, I know that my translation, most translations say brimstone. Oh, what the heck is brimstone? I mean, we don't know. Brimstone is sulfur. And so it's this very smelly odor. It's hot. It's damaging as well. And so it's sulfur. So it's fire, smoke, and sulfur. And that's where kind of the modern day or our cultural depictions of hell come from. Smoke, fire, sulfur. And this is kind of what's happening. And so hell basically is opened up, and now it's coming upon the earth. And before it touched earth, now it's touching mankind. And so we see this thing happening. So here's this picture, the bottomless great furnace. The sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the pit. So the smoke is rising up, and it's rising up in such capacity, in such density, that the earth is kind of covered in it. You can no longer see the stars. You no longer can see the sky. You can't see the sun. You can't see the moon. And it's just this incredible haze that comes over. I mean, imagine how bad this is. If you remember, maybe about 2 months ago, there was this haze in Singapore that came out of the fires in Malaysia and in Indonesia, and it was coming through in Singapore. And man, these Singaporeans were complaining like you wouldn't believe, because I mean, this haze, people can go outside and whatnot. I mean, imagine that happening 100 times over. I mean, we don't really experience this so much here, but imagine that happening 100 times over, and that's kind of the situation that's happening. They were told now differently. In verse 4, and these are the locusts that come. And now these locusts are not the locusts that we think. Locusts, in terms of creatures that are to cover the earth, kind of going back to Exodus. But these locusts are different, because if you remember in Exodus 10:14, the Bible tells us that the earth will never again be infiltrated by locusts of this kind. So that's never going to happen. So we know that this is not the same kind of locust that's in Exodus, in the plague. It's a different kind of locust, and he'll explain what that means. But this is the command of these locusts. He says that they should not hurt the grass, nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only the men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. If you remember a couple chapters before, there was a seal that meant that you belong to God. And I mean, there's a lot of interesting news coming out. I don't know if you're aware of this, but part of Obamacare, some of you guys that are any Americans here? One. Okay, well, you guys don't really care, but I'll explain anyway. Sorry. But part of Obamacare is they're asking every person that is going to be a part of the healthcare system to actually implant a chip inside of you. Now, that's pretty darn biblical. You know what I mean? Because, you know, you hear about these things, you're like, no person or no country is ever going to do something like that because it's such, like, it's like the end of the world kind of stuff. And sure enough, our president is putting a system in place where every person, I think it's called VeriSign or something, and he wants to implant every person with this chip. And if you don't get implanted, you're not part of Obamacare, which is compulsory. And so, I mean, I'm not saying Obama is Antichrist. I'm not, okay? But it's very interesting, isn't it? To see how some agenda is being pushed, particularly this Obamacare, and it's being pushed to a certain extent where everyone has to have it. And so then that goes first, and then the next thing is, so now you have to have a chip. Well, everyone has to have it, so now you have to have this chip. That's crazy. And so, you know, we talk about these seals and these numbers, and I mean, can you imagine the guys that are really into this, that they're probably having a heart attack right now about stuff that's going on in the earth right now. And so they're not meant to hurt any living thing except for human beings. And so in those days, and this is the response, okay? So very unlikely that this response happens in the other trumpets, but in verse 6 it says, "In those days men will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die and death flees from them." In other words, they're going to suffer. They're going to suffer. Have you ever maybe even said it, not jokingly, but said it as an expression, "Man, I'd rather die." And whenever, you know, you're going through a really hardship, "I'd rather be dead," or something like that. I mean, you should never say that anyway. But we have situations or instances, or people say like, "Oh, that felt like death," or things like that. I had my foot crushed when my second year when I was in youth ministry. I mean, literally, a huge, huge truck ran over my foot. And I tore every ligament. It was my left foot. I tore every ligament. I dislocated my heel. I should actually bring my x-ray sometimes. The most grotesque x-ray. It was my heel. And if you look at your foot, is like this. And your heel bone is supposed to be like this. My heel bone was all the way, almost inverted. And so that was actually one of the most painful, is when he put my heel back in place. And he had to do it twice. And I remember the doctor saying, "Hey, this is going to hurt." And count to three, and he did it on two. You know, I mean, doctors are very tricky like that. And so, and he snapped it, and you hear this pop, and the heel went back in, but didn't go all the way, so he did it again. And my foot was throbbing for like a week. It was crazy painful. But when that happened, my foot was on fire. I felt like this must be what death feels like. And in this way, these guys were in such torment. They were suffering so much because they were bit by the scorpion, and it had the power to make them hurt for 5 months. Now, I don't know what 5 months means, okay? I mean, I was trying to get wrap my head around it. I don't know. But it seems like, but it was so bad that they wished they were dead. I mean, can you imagine how painful that must be? And so they were commissioned to torment mankind now, but only mankind that did not, but only the men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And so the unsaved, you know, so to speak. And so they were tormented during this time. And so then he tells us this is what the locusts look like. Okay, verse 7. "They're like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns like gold, and their faces were the faces like men." So this is kind of like in Greek mythology, the Minotaur and whatnot. And so, and they had hair like the hair of women, so they had long hair. And their teeth like the teeth of lions. So, I mean, these, you know, locusts, okay? These tiny little locusts. Now, it's like almost like what John does is he puts these locusts in a microscope, and then we see. Have you ever seen, like, National Geographic or whatnot? Especially the ones, I mean, I don't mind animals and insects, they're fine. But when they start doing, like, bed bugs, Do you remember that? And they go to like a person's home and they'll go in and take a snapshot of their bed and their sheets. And then they look under a microscope and it looks like the Amazon rainforest. You know what's happening there? I mean, it's like, but they're tiny little, you know, minuscule. That's kind of the picture. It puts these things under a microscope and this is what he sees. And then the breastplates are like breastplates of iron. The sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots and many horses rushing to battle. And they have tails like scorpions. Now, this is going to be important. I'll talk about it later on. And stings, and the tails is their power to hurt man for 5 months. So they're tormenting. Now, in verse 11, now keep scorpions in mind. We're going to go back to that later on. We'll talk about the sixth trumpet. They have a king over them, the angel of the abyss. And this is really interesting. It says, in Hebrew, his name is Abaddon. And Abaddon in Hebrew means destroyer. So the word Abaddon actually is mostly more closely associated with the word grave. So it's destruction. So it's a term, it's destruction or death, grave. But then in the Greek, he has a name, Apollyon. Now Apollyon is the word for destroyer. So he doesn't use the word apaleia, which would be destruction. All right, we're doing the grammar here correctly. John should have said that his name is Abaddon, destruction, and as also his name is Apollyon, which is destruction. But he doesn't use that. He uses the personal pronoun is Apollyon, which is the destroyer. And what John is trying to emphasize here that this is not some kind of force. Do you know what I mean? It's not some kind of thing like just death. This is destroyer. It's personal. This is a personal entity. It's not just something that happens. It's going to happen through somebody or some personal entity. That's it. In particular, this angel of death. I can't say really angel of death. It's more of Satan and whatnot. Now, there are some commentators that have said that he particularly used the word Apollyon to talk about, because John is giving the true revelation, the true prophecy. In the early church, the idea of Apollos, even as a teacher, but Apollos in Greek was this idea of false prophecy. And so some commentators have said that maybe he's talking about that. That it's really dealing with a false prophecy. John's saying, I'm giving you the real prophecy. Now, there's all these false ones, and it's those false prophecies are associated with the enemy. That could be, but I personally think it's more in terms of he's giving us this picture of this personal thing that's happening. It's not just some thing. You know, like in the same way, when we look at the Bible and Holy Spirit, now, if you heard me teach this before, the Holy Spirit is the word pneuma in Greek, which literally translated means breath or wind. And so, but pneuma is what we call in the Greek structure. It's a non-gender word. It has no neuter. And so the word pneuma in the Bible, you actually properly translate, you should actually say it's it. And so when the Bible talks about pneuma, it says, and he shall come convict the world. Actually, the word should be, and it shall come. And but if you notice the gospel writers, they don't use the word, the proper Greek grammar of it. They use the pronoun he. And so actually being grammatically incorrect, it's like saying grammatically, I am 45 years old. That's proper grammar. Instead, I say I be 45. Now, that's slang, but that's improper grammar. In that same way, the writers in the New Testament are actually writing improper grammar, but they have a bigger point in mind. And their point is that he's not an impersonal object. The Holy Spirit is not some it. Spirit is not some thing. Spirit is not some power. He is the third person of the Trinity. And so whenever that word pneuma is used, it's used in the personal pronoun of he. Do you guys understand that? In the same way, I think John is using this that same way, and he's not just talking about death as some entity, non-personal entity, but there is a person involved. He's the destroyer, Lucifer. Satan, the devil, you know, and all different kinds of things wrapped up in that. And so the first woes pass, and two woes are still coming. Now they get to the sixth trumpet, and there's six sounds, and now there's the four horns, a voice from the four horns of the golden altar is before God, and one saying to the sixth angel at the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. And so we see this, these angels that cover the corners of the earth, and now they're released, and so these are literally now the angels of death. And so they have been appointed for this time and this time alone. And so they're there, they're ready to do battle, whatever it takes. And so, and when they come, they're released for the hour and day and month, and released so they might kill a third of mankind. So remember, the fifth trumpet was only harmed them for 5 months. So now that's passed. And now the sixth trumpet comes, and now mankind, a third of mankind is killed. If you remember the trumpets before, a third of the world was destroyed. Now it's hitting mankind. And so now a third of mankind is killed, and they're killed by the fire, the smoke, and the sulfur. And that's what kind of destroys them in the midst of this, the three plagues, verse 18. Fire, smoke, and sulfur which proceeded out of their mouths. For the power of the horses is in their mouths, and in their tails, the tails are like serpents. You remember in the fifth trumpet, what was the tail like? Scorpions. In the sixth trumpet, the tail was like snakes. Now go all the way back to Luke. Do you remember in Luke chapter 10? Do you remember what Jesus promised that believers will have power over? Snakes and scorpions. And so we see this picture, and now this is like a whole different dispensation now. Where before, he said the believers, now you have power over the scorpions and the snakes. And people have taken that to the extreme. If you see like churches in the South, and you know these crazy Pentecostals will like dangle snakes, and they'll get bitten. I don't know what the heck these guys are thinking, but they're just taking that literally. But that's not necessarily what Luke had in mind for that. He was really giving an aside of what was going to happen in Revelation. And so at one moment of time, we're going to have power over the snakes and the scorpions. But now judgment is coming upon the earth. And that's literally what's happening here. And now the scorpions and snakes now have dominion over mankind. In this case, a third of mankind. And so what is the response? Okay. Remember, he doesn't talk about response, but the response in the first part, in the fifth trumpet, was they hoped that they were going to die, but they didn't die. Death fled from them. And now, here's the sadness, really, of the response of a third of mankind dying. He says, and the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues, guess what? They did not repent of the works of their hands, so as not to worship demons, the idols of gold and of silver and of brass and of stone and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk, and they did not repent of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their immorality, nor of their thefts. And so, I mean, in one side, you know, we look at this. This is now. This is after the believers are resurrected. Okay, so they're left on the earth, and we think, and we could look and say, "Oh, how sad! Like how terribly disturbing." But yet, in the midst of all this stuff, they still don't repent. You know what I mean? It gives you kind of a picture going all the way back of like Pharaoh. You remember Pharaoh in the midst of the plagues that hit the earth and hit Egypt, and he did not repent. Now in Exodus, in that passage, it's clear that God hardened Pharaoh's heart, and so there was an act of sovereignty in place there, but it doesn't say this about this group of people here. And so whatever the case, in the midst of all the stuff that's going on, unfortunately, what happens is they still don't repent. And so if you think about it, destruction is happening. In a sense, they are already destroyed because their lack of repentance. What are they not repenting against? And I think this is a good word for us. Today, I mean, we're not in this moment, in this time, but worship demons. Okay, now, I don't think anyone here are worshiping demons, okay? I mean, if you are, then you're a good faker in front of us today. But also worshiping idols of gold, silver. It's talking about wealth. I know a lot of people that worship wealth. I mean, incredibly so. Worship of brass and stones and wood. I mean, in other words, these are all things that we can make as human beings. We can master these things that are on the earth, and we worship these things. You know, we worship our cars. We worship our technology. We worship our houses, you know, our possessions, and these kind of things. And then also did not repent of their murders, and so that's sin. That's happening, outright sin. And so when we think about this, there's two categories. There's sins of commission. In other words, sins that we do, murder, stealing, lying, these kind of things. But there's also sins of our heart, sins of allegiance. And in other words, it's worshiping not God, but our gold, our wealth, our abilities, in this kind of realm. And so I think it gives us an aside in our heart to make sure that we're worshiping God and not things that we can make or things that we possess in our lives. Okay, so let's close our eyes. The fifth trumpet, I should mention this, the fifth trumpet comes from the abyss, comes from underneath the ground, from hell. The sixth trumpet comes from the unknown outside. And we're always kind of afraid of the unknown. That's what makes it so scary. So as we look at this judgment and see how these things work in this way, can I invite you as we pray today that we make sure that we respond properly before the Lord. Maybe there is a sense of judgment that will come upon us. Maybe us, maybe not personally, but nationally in this way, or in nations or whatnot. You know, let's pray that there will be a proper response. This was a totally improper response. They didn't repent. And as we sing a song of worship, let's go before the Lord. And let's pray that whatever these signs or things, that even just personally, that we respond well to the Lord.
Savior, I come, quiet my soul. Remember Redemption's hill, where your blood was spilled for my. Lead me to the cross. I come. Savior, I come, quiet my soul. Redemption's hill, where your blood was spilled for my ransom. Everything I once held dear, I count it all as loss. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Lord, lead me. Lead me to the Word became flesh, bore my sin and death. Now you're risen. So everything I once held dear, I count it all as loss. Everything I once held dear. Everything I once held dear, Lord, I count it all as loss. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Lord, lead me. Lead me, lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, belong to you, so lead me, lead me to the cross.
Let's pray this morning. Let's pray for, and not just in terms of judgment or whatnot, but let's pray for a proper response before God. And let's pray ourselves that whatever comes our way, that we respond properly before the Lord. In this case, in Revelation, it was in dealing with judgment and a response of that judgment. And let's pray personally, right? Let's pray for the response of God over our lives. Either good things happen, let's respond with praise and thanksgiving. Bad things happen, let's respond with praise and thanksgiving. You know, there's that, I love that Matt Redman song. It's just simply, blessed be your name. You know, when there's pain in the offering, still, blessed be your name. When there's suffering, blessed be your name. There's something quite powerful about that. And it's the response that we offer up to the Lord. So let's pray in each of our lives. Let's pray over our mission focus this Friday morning. Let's pray for the local ministries here. Let's pray for the local churches ministering. Let's pray for YWAM Hong Kong, SSI, Godwin and Shanti Ministries, our friends Masters Beauty, and the Red Light District Outreach. Pray for Pastor Jimmy in face-to-face, especially as he recovers from his knee surgery. Pray for Armanda in Feed the Hungry and Anil in CSW. He's actually on a trip to Bangladesh ministering to church leaders, most of the church leaders that have been persecuted or had their churches burnt down. It's really quite a tragic story. And he's there ministering to them, trying to uplift their spirits. And so let's pray for his trip right now. Let's pray for our friends here in Hong Kong. Let's pray for our missions committee. Let's pray for P. Eugene and Jamie and John, Sarah, Chisun, Kiwan, and Janella. Let's ask God's hand to be with them, that they would move in the wisdom of God, and they would continually seeking projects for us to be involved in. And so let's lift them up. Let's pray for our local outreach, really the jewel of our church. Pray for our community center that's used well over down the street from us. Let's pray for Igape, the English and computer classes. Pray for the homeless ministry, SP Lights, especially now that Eugene has transitioned, moved back to Korea. Pray for new leadership to rise up and Angie and others would continue to move forward. Pray for the prison ministry and feeding ministry, and a lot of things that we really get involved in our community to bless and be a blessing. And so let's lift up all of our stuff that's going on here. I think also not written on there is our ministry at Mother's Choice as well. And so let's just ask God's hand to be with each of these teams and volunteers, and that we would really impact people's lives. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's ask God's hand to be with the city that we live in. Let's pray for the government and the leaders that they would rule righteously in this place. Let's pray against the wealth gap here in Hong Kong. Pray for revival in this city, that this would be a city on a hill and it would be a light to China. Let's pray for just not just the spiritual atmosphere, but let's pray for the lifestyles and the livelihoods of people here in Hong Kong as well. I just read an article this morning that people working in finance in Hong Kong work harder than any other country in the world in terms of hours worked. And so that means a lot of families are being neglected and, you know, a lot of relationships are not happening. And so let's pray for even the lifestyle and the quality of life in Hong Kong amongst people would just be better. Let's ask God's hand to be with this place in that regard as well. Let's pray for our activities going on tonight. Let's pray for the intercessory prayer team as they have their meeting. Let's pray for the college ministry, the rivers going on tonight. Pray for the Growing Christ discipleship class and EG class as well. As first session is tonight. Pray for McCain House Church and Jimmy, Bo, and KJ as they start the season. And let's pray for God's hand to be with us and people to really draw close to God. You know, our theme is a church where people can encounter God. Let's pray that all the activities, things that are going on, that people would encounter the living Christ. And let's pray. Sorry, I kind of did this backwards today, but let's go to our community prayer focus and let's pray for our friends and their families that are dealing with cancer, that have become sick, and let's pray for God's healing word in and through their lives. I just want to alert you to a new one that went up, and Chelsea Ling, they found some kind of something, a lump in her thyroid, and so she's having surgery this Monday to see if it's cancerous or not. They said 95% chance that it's not, and so let's just lift her up as she gets ready to go under the knife on Monday, and let's continue to pray for our friends here. Let's pray for our friends that are ill, but more than that, that they need to meet Jesus Christ. And so let's pray that the Holy Spirit, that word of salvation, would go before them and they would come to faith in Christ. And out of that, everything flows. And so let's lift them up. Let's pray for others that have non-cancer related illnesses. Let's ask God's healing word. Let's pray for our friends that are looking for work. Let's pray for just divine connections. Pray for open doors. Pray that during their interviews that God would just give them supernatural wisdom. Let's just really cover our four friends here. Let's ask God's hand to be with them. Father, we thank you, God, this morning. We thank you for Revelation chapter 9, God, and just the message, Lord. Death and destruction are coming to this earth, God. Lord, we pray, Lord, that every person would trust you, Lord Jesus, that we would be rescued, God, Lord, not just in that time, Lord, but in this life, right here, right now, God, of all things that are coming against us, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, and just breathe life, God, over us, over our church, our families, our workplaces, over the city, God, over Asia, Lord, in the world. Thank you, Lord. We love you, God, today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.